Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning. Welcome to the second ever Arsecast on arseblog.com in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk. I am Arseblogger. What a fantastic show we've got ahead for you. Well, by relative standards, it's fantastic. By the standards of listening to somebody having a poo while getting sick on top of it, it's pretty fantastic, I promise you that much. We will have the winner of the Classic Football Shirt, the 92-94 Adidas home shirt, as provided by classicfootballshirts.co.uk, because it was the very first Arsecast last week. That's coming up later in the show. We will have another blog chat, this time with the man from East Lore. That's eastlore.co.uk. There'll be a phone call in there somewhere. Arsene Wenger Hawkins will be here again by popular demand, actually. There'll be some readers' questions, and I'll try and answer those without making myself seem like a total twat. And also a bet of the week with thanks to bluesquare.com. First thing I want to do, though, is to thank everybody who sent emails last week with feedback and suggestions and comments about the very first Arsecast. I didn't get a chance to reply to all of them because there were just so many, but all your emails are, as always, very much appreciated, and the feedback we got last week was remarkably positive. There were over 5,000 downloads of the very first Arsecast, so I'm really happy with that. Hopefully we can go from strength to strength, so thank you all very much indeed. Now, before I go any further, I want to talk about arsecast.com. Now, as those of you with good ears will know, arsecast.com and arseblog.com are two quite different things. When I decided to do the podcast, or the Arsecast on Arseblog, I went to GoDaddy.com to see if I could register the domain name arsecast.com. Unfortunately, it had already been taken, and I thought nothing more of it. I just assumed it was a website where people took plaster molds of people's arses, and what can you do? Anyway, on the arses one day, after I'd announced the Arsecasts on Arseblog, this is getting very confusing, but I'm sure you can keep up. The guy from arsecast.com said that he was doing podcasts on his site, and they were called Arsecasts. So we had a little bit of an email conversation. I asked him, did he have any real problem if I called my podcasts Arsecasts? And he said, no, not at all. As his Arsecast was all about retro and indie video games, we figured, you know, well, it's not really going to cause too much problem. This week, he has been inundated with email from people entering the competition for the classic football shirt, all sending email to arsecast.com. Now, if you come to arseblog.com and you're listening to an Arsecast on arseblog.com, and I say the email address is arsecast@arseblog.com, please don't send email to arsecast.com, because number one, I'm not going to get it. Number two, the other guy's just going to get a load of email that he doesn't want, you see? So if you could just pay a little bit more attention to that, remember, the email address is arsecast@arseblog.com. On the same kind of note, last week we ran a competition for on the website for copies of Football Manager 2007, and this happens with every single competition that we do. I set up an email address, for example, footballmanager@arseblog.com. I say you've got until Thursday to make your entries. On Friday I'll announce the winners. And then for the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'll still get emails from people entering the competition, even though quite clearly it's been over for some time. Some of you people are very strange, but I'm sure you already knew that. Yeah. Anyway, leaving aside your strangeness and on to this week's blog chat, which this week is with the man from East Lore, eastlore.co.uk. In a jam-packed 10 minutes or so, we talk about Jeremy Aliadier and his two goals against West Brom, Colo Touré's new contract, the display against Reading, the new stadium versus the old stadium, English players, a possible Arsenal anthem, and a look ahead to the Everton game. Well, very, very brief look ahead to the Everton game. We just mention it, more or less. Anyway, this is this week's blog chat with East Lore. Okay, this morning now I'm talking with the man from eastlore.co.uk. His name is the man from East Lore. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Are you still in the East Lower? Or where are you now?
That's a good question. I'm sort of north-east lower. So okay. Not really, but as near as I could have got, really.
Okay, you're not going to change the name of your blog, no?
No, I think it's gone too far down the line now. I think I'll just leave it as it is.
Okay, all right. First thing I want to talk to you about is West Brom last night. I didn't see any of it, did you?
No, I just got it on the radio, which is not always the best way, is it? But anyway, you know, I got about as much of that as I could.
Okay, well, the one person that stands out is Jeremy Aliadier. Two goals. The unfortunate thing is that he seems to be made of balsa wood. Do you think he's got any sort of a future at the club?
Oh, do you know, it's a hard one. He seems to have loads of talent, doesn't he? But it's, you know, he was on loan to three clubs last year. He's not scored for a couple of years until last night. I hope he does. But if you look at who's ahead of him, it could be quite a tall order for him. But you never know. He may even get a chance on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, with Adebayor out, and Wenger saying he's going to play him on the wings, or Theo Walcott on the wings, I should say, he might at least make the bench, no? Because we seem to be sort of short of strikers. But when when you look at Lupoli is out on loan, Bentner's out on loan, he's really got to take his chance if he gets it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's got to be given a chance first, hasn't he, really? But I reckon he hasn't probably got more than another season, unless he can make his mark. It's not easy, but he clearly wants to, and so hopefully if he gets a chance, he might. It's so hard to say, isn't it, when you've got incredible strikers ahead of you like that.
Brilliant news this week with regards to Kolo Touré, no?
Oh yeah, fantastic. I mean, you know, if you look at all the players that Wenger signed over the years for next to nothing, what was he like, $250,000 from? Yeah. On the Ivory Coast, and he's just an absolute legend. He's turned into a fantastic centre-back. For $250,000, you know, it's just unbelievable. Words fail me. He's a fantastic player.
It is. It's brilliant, isn't it? Because when you think about it, that's 120 Rio Ferdinands.
Well, I don't want to think about that.
No, that's far too many Rio Ferdinands. One is enough. But he really has, talking about players who take their chances, he was given a chance at the start of that season to come in at centre-half, and, you know, people raised their eyebrows and they didn't really think a guy who's only 5'11" could play there, but he's just a rock, isn't he?
He's an absolute rock, yeah, he is. And he fits the sort of Wenger mould perfectly, doesn't he? He's really athletic and he's quite skillful. You know, sometimes he can bring the ball out from defence and maraud all the way forward, you know. You don't get that very often with English centre-backs. So, yeah, he's a fantastic player. And you're never going to hear of him sort of falling down drunk in nightclubs and stuff, are you? He's just a superb player.
Yeah, absolutely. And in general now, I think at the back, we look like we have tremendous options, don't we? Because with Gallas being so versatile, he can go left-back or right-back. In the centre-half, then, we've Kolo. We've got the two Swiss boys who are going to have a real battle with each other, aren't they, in order to get some playing time.
Yeah, but it's good to have the option, isn't it? I mean, you know, this time last year we were all complaining and what did we use, 8 left-backs last year or something? And,
yeah.
And to have the option is great. A bit of competition at the back. Sometimes maybe we didn't have enough competition last year between, for places. Certainly I don't think Gilberto had enough competition last year. And at the back, it was just ridiculous at times, so it's great to have those options. I know Hoyt's got his critics, but I think he's done quite well at right-back anyway.
Certainly, he looks a lot better at right-back than he does at left.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah. He was definitely not, I mean, he was being targeted, wasn't he, at left-back, which wasn't ideal, but he looks a lot more solid.
Yeah. Okay, let's just talk briefly about last Sunday at Reading. It was a sort of performance we haven't really seen from Arsenal for, 12 months maybe, 18 months, just in terms of the overall team display. The boss has always said that the potential is there, and we've seen it in bits and bobs, haven't we? But do you think that on the back of the United result, on the back of four wins after that United result and that display, that, you know, they've now managed to step it up and can do it on a consistent level?
Yeah, I hope so. We had the whole problem last year of going, especially away, when we lost sort of 10 games, and just not showing up. And we haven't had that at all this year. You know, our one loss was against Man City, and we did quite a few chances there. So But Reading was fantastic. You know, half of me thinks we've absolutely clicked, but then half of me thinks let's play Bolton away first before we pass judgment, because that's the kind of game that we could trip up still, or not, you know.
Yeah.
But we were absolutely fantastic against Reading. I mean, several of the goals we scored were just blinding, weren't they?
They're brilliant. And it brings me to my next point. We have, in the team now, wonderful technical players in midfield. Vieira was a very, very skillful player. But relied a lot on his physicality, I think. But in the midfield, especially in the system that he plays when he goes away from home, you've got Rosicky, Chleb, Fabregas, who are all very, very good on the ball. Not the biggest, but what he seems to have sacrificed is a certain amount of the physical element for the skill that those guys bring.
Yeah, he does, and maybe you're right. Maybe in order for those slightly smaller, but quicker and more technical players, maybe that's why we play five. It could well be right, because I mean Vieira was a class apart himself. You know, he could run the midfield. And I don't think we've got a single player who could probably run the midfield on his own without help now. So you know, it seems to be working. And Nowitzki, like Gallas at the back, you know, he seems to have added quite a lot as well. And he's only 25, but he's really experienced. So I think it's working. It's working really well at the moment, yeah. And I think he's made a massive difference.
Okay. An email I got during the week was from somebody who was asking me, you know, Justin Hoyt is the only English player we have in the team at the moment. There's a few young lads sniffing around from the reserves. Randall, we've got Matthew Connolly as well, who are sort of on the fringes of the first team. But Hoyt is the only English player. Someone sent me an email during the week to ask, during the Arsecast, and I'll put this to you as well because it's an interesting point, is that, are there English players that can fit into the system that we're playing at the moment and can play the type of football that Arsene Wenger wants Arsenal to play?
I don't know if there are at Arsenal at the moment. And it's an interesting one. I've been kind of thinking about it for a couple of years because I've always made it clear I'd like to see more homegrown talent. I think Wenger came out with it the other day and he said something like, you know, when you come and you start an academy up, the English players are a bit further behind technically. It takes doesn't just take 1 or 2 years. You know, you've got to find the players at young age. You've got to, you know, get them all the way up from sort of the age of 11 or 12 up to sort of 18, 19. So it's kind of a 10-year project. And he's claimed that you know, in 2 or 3 years' time we'll have more. And I suppose the test will be whether he's right, won't it? If in 2 or 3 years we've got players that can play in that system, then he's right. At the moment, you're right, we've only really got Hoyt and Walcott, and I guess both are still unproven, aren't they?
Another thing, and this is another question from a listener or a reader who wanted, and you're in a better position to answer this than I am, and maybe it's a little old hat, but somebody wanted to know what I thought of the club moving to the new stadium at Ashburton Grove and the change of Highbury into the flats, into the new housing scheme. So I'm going to put that one to you. I mean, obviously you've changed, you're in the new stadium now, but having spent so many years in Highbury, you know, how does it feel now a couple of months down the line?
Oh, well, I love it, I have to say. I think it's, you know, when you first go there, it's a pretty awe-inspiring place. And it doesn't, that feeling doesn't really change. It's a fantastic stadium. And, I mean, sure, it's got its teething problems. It's not quite inside. It's a bit sort of corporate. It doesn't really feel like it's got much history, you know, which is understandable, I suppose. But, I mean, those are the kind of things that get ironed out over the course of a year or two. So you can't kind of worry too much about that, but I mean it's fantastic, and it had to happen, didn't it? Highbury was a tatty old place. Even though we loved it to bits, it was falling down basically. Certainly my part of the East Lower was. So I think it's great. I mean, you know, you'll see it yourself. It is an amazing sight, and all the away fans, they all say the same thing. It's fantastic. I'm not sure that any other ground is quite as good in this country.
Excellent. Well, I'm really looking forward to getting over and seeing a game. The last thing I want to talk about then, and I'm just I've just looked at this on the web, on the online Gooner, and they're talking about an Arsenal anthem, you know, to match "We're Forever Blowing Bubbles" or "You'll Never Walk Alone," etc., etc. That West Ham and Liverpool have. Personally, I'm not sure that you can force people to sing a song like that. It's something that has to happen organically, really. What do you think of the ideas? The suggestion on the online Gooner is a reworked version of "The Green Green Grass of Home" by Tom Jones.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, like you say, you know, if you force an anthem on someone, it might not feel right. So, I mean, we've got our own kind of anthems coming, but going back to the 70s, like good old Arsenal.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All those kind of songs, so it's got to grow, like you say, organically. And I suppose, I mean, I think was it the club that came up with the 1-0 to the Arsenal tune back in the sort of mid-90s? I think it might have been, but I don't know. I mean, I think you just got to let it grow. I think that's my take on it.
Okay, and lastly this time, Everton on Saturday. What do you think?
That's going to be a tough test, actually. It really is. I still think that we haven't been as good as we can be at home. And I think after Reading and I suppose West Brom as well, we've got our tails up. And I think everyone expects us to win, but I'm not so sure. I think it's going to be a tough game. We ought to sneak it, but I think they'll try and knock a few lumps out of us and try and get a point off us, as most teams seem to be doing at the moment when they can play.
True. I think we owe them one for last year. The Goodison Park game was probably one of the most miserable days of the season, just watching that game and the performance, the lack of cohesion in the team and that was a miserable day last year. That was when I think we knew things really weren't quite right in the team. So I'd like to see us stick a couple past them, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'd love it. It would be nice.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you very much, East Lower.
You're welcome, no problem.
We'll talk to you again on another Blog Chat. So there you go, the man from East Lower, www.eastlower.co.uk. Thank you very much. We'll talk to him again sometime in the future, but next week there will be a Blog Chat with a different Arsenal blogger. The variety just blows your mind, eh? Some people emailed during the week to say that the Arscast didn't have as much swearing as they would like. Juvenile people, you really are. I mean, it doesn't need swearing, but just to keep you happy, we'll have a swear word of the week. Here it is.
Minge face.
There you go. That's the Arscast swear word of the week. And of course, we'll have a different swear word of the week next week. Now, all week long, I've been trying to get an Arsenal fan who you might know as being somebody famous or a famous ex-player or something like that to come along and talk to us to the Arsblog Arscast. I sent off numerous emails to various agents all around the place, and the response was pretty bad, I have to say. Most of them said no. Some of them said, no chance. Others said, fuck off, you cunt. And one said they would check with their client and get back to me. Apparently, though, their client has run off to the Caribbean somewhere rather than get involved in any of this. Despite that, or because of that, I should say, we've had to invite back somebody who proved very popular last week. And to talk about something that happened in the world of football in the week gone by, here is Arsene Wenger Hawkins.
See if Jermaine Defoe sank his choppers into my arm like he did to Javier Mascherano, then he would live to regret the day he was born. I would not react immediately because that would not allow me to harness the awesome power of my Wenger brain. I would first go to the Utah Flats and spend time looking for a fossil from a saber-toothed tiger. Then I would go to my lab, extract the DNA, splice it with that of a crocodile, then use some kind of electronic chamber to combine it all with an antisocial kitten. Using radioactivity in the style of Dr. David Banner, I would then enlarge the beast, who would have 3 feet long incisors and a scaly hide. The beast would not harm me because I would be its master, and he would love me. I would then break into Defoe's house while he was playing for those lily white cunts and hide under the bed. When he came back to lie down and weep at yet another crushing defeat, I would unleash my saber-tooth cracker kitten on him, and he would then understand what it was like to be bitten. Again, and again, and again. Wahahahaha. As he was lying bleeding from the many puncture wounds and trying to cover the flesh that had been torn from his body, I would say, "You shouldn't have bitten me, you stupid cunt. If you had merely kicked me in the legs, I would never have subjected you to such a ferocious attack. I hope you have learned your lesson." Then I would go home and have Bovril on toast, because it is the snack of kings. Oh yes.
Not a man to be crossed. That is Arsene Wenger Hawkins, and no doubt he'll be back next week. Speaking of Jermaine Defoe...
Thank you for calling Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Good afternoon, Tottenham Hotspur.
Hello, I'm calling on behalf of West Ham United's team doctor. We're just wondering if Jermaine Defoe has had his rabies shots recently.
I will need to put you through to that department. Okay, hold the line, please.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, hi. I rang a few minutes ago from West Ham Football Club, and you were putting me through to the medical department. The problem I'm having is that my phone won't accept the press 2 now, press 6 now, press etc. Is there any way you can put me straight through to that department rather than the switchboard?
Hold on, I'll try for you. Hang on a second, I need to get the extension. Right, okay, hold on, I'm going to try.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, medical department.
Yeah, hi, I'm calling on behalf of the team doctor at West Ham United. We just want to know, has Jermaine Defoe had his rabies shots recently? Hello? I think we can safely assume that he hasn't had those shots. If Mascherano starts foaming at the mouth during one of his upcoming games, we'll know where to look, won't we? Indeed. Now then, on to the winner of our Classic Football Shirt competition, with thanks to classicfootballshirts.co.uk, who very generously sponsored this Arsecast. If you are into Arsenal shirts, the real deal, they're authentic shirts, not replicas, not eBay-style fakes. These are the real deal, which is why sometimes the prices look a little bit high, but check out the website, classicfootballshirts.co.uk. Last week, because it was the first Arsecast, they gave us a 92-94 home jersey, the Adidas one, to give away. It was the shirt we wore during the 93 Double Cup final year, and also in the 94 Cup Winners' Cup final. So what I asked you was, who scored the winning goal in the FA Cup replay in 93, and who scored the winning goal in the 94 Cup Winners' Cup final? The answer's quite easy. Number one, Andy Linegan. Number two, Alan Smith. And the winner of the shirt is Andre from Norway. So congratulations to you, Andre, from Norway. I will email you a little bit later on today to get your address and all those details. And classicfootballshirts.co.uk will be sending out that shirt to you pronto. Okay, next part is our reader's questions part, which is where you send in questions to me to arscast@arsblog.com. Arsblog.com, yeah. And I try and answer your questions. Loads of emails this week, so thank you all very much indeed. If I don't feature your question, it's nothing personal. I just have to pick a few of them and go through them as quickly as I can. What I've also forgotten to do today is to put the names down of the questions that I'm using, and I can't go back through my email because I just don't have time to do it. So if you recognize your question, well done, and thank you very much. Okay, first question says, I know you prefer Laren over Aboué, and that I think that Gallas, Touré and Clichy would make up the rest of the strongest defence. But who's the better player of Senderos and Juru? And do you think Wenger will consider putting Gallas out wide in order to find our strongest defence? Senderos versus Juru. Juru's been very, very impressive since he came into the team at the start of the season. He's pacey, he's good on the ball, he's strong. And you can see why he's so highly rated at the club. Senderos has been very unlucky in terms of his injury that he picked up during the World Cup, because he would have been a definite starter for the first team from the first game, I think. What he has, I think, above Giroud is a leadership quality and an organisational quality at the back that we could really do with at times. With regards, the battle between him and Giroud is going to be very, very interesting, I think, throughout the rest of the season, because I think Gallas is going to spend some time at left-back. I know we have Clichy back, and he's a specialist left-back, but what I think is when we play, for example, Bolton away, or somebody that's going to be very physical and somebody that's going to fire in a lot of long balls, he's going to play the strongest and the biggest defence that we have, which would be Eboué or Hoyt at right-back at the moment, then Toure, Senderos or Giroud in the middle, and then Gallas at left back, which would give us that extra physicality that we would need against somebody like Bolton. Okay, second question. He says, you often refer to other Arsenal blogs. Do you ever look at Chelsea blogs to further stoke the fire between the two clubs? Quite honestly, no. There is one Chelsea blog called chelseablog.com, I think, which I look at from time to time, but I'm not the sort of person that's going to go around to other people's blogs and start fighting with them and leaving comments to annoy fans of other clubs. I've got better things to do with my time. There are, though, a million and one Arsenal blogs. There was a Manchester City blog, which I think is bitterandblue.blogspot.com, which put together a definitive list of all the blogs for all the clubs in the Premiership, and Arsenal was miles ahead of all the others. There must be 20, 25 Arsenal blogs compared to 3 or 4 Liverpool or 3 or 4 Man United. So there's a brilliant amount of Arsenal blogs. They vary in quality, obviously, but it just shows how techno-cool Arsenal fans are. Next question. Will Freddie Ljungberg ever regain his best form like he was in the seasons from the period 2002 to 2004? It's hard to say. It seems very doubtful at the moment. Freddie is afflicted with injury after injury, and I think he's the sort of player that needs to be playing regularly and find a rhythm in order to be at his best, and it's been a while since he's had such a consistent run of games. The other thing to bear in mind is that when he really was at his best, he had Dennis Bergkamp providing those beautiful passes for him. His runs into the box at that stage were just incredible, and it was Bergkamp more often than not that picked him out. I don't know that we have anybody. Well, I think Cesc has that kind of passing ability, but he's not playing as high up the pitch as Bergkamp was. So I would love to see Freddie back and Freddie scoring goals, but I wouldn't put any money on it. Okay, next question. I felt on transfer deadline day one of the best bits of business that Arsene did was acquiring Julio Baptista from Real Madrid. He seems to be a fine addition to the squad. Big, strong, skillful in the air, blah, 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 blah. My question is, where do you think Arsene should play Baptista, and what formation will be best to exploit Baptista's strengths? What a brilliant question. I wish I had some clue what the boss had planned for him. I have a feeling that he's going to play him in the Gilberto position more often than not, but he could easily play further forward as the furthest midfielder forward in a 4-5-1 away from home. I really haven't seen enough of him in an Arsenal shirt to know where he might be best or to make any sort of a judgment on that. So it is something that I'm really, really interested to see when he does get fit again, what sort of role the boss has planned for him. What I do like, though, is that we do have someone of his quality, to add something different to the team. Final question for today. We've still got Pat Rice, but do you miss the really strong Irish connection that might have endeared Arsenal to you? Of course. Back in the day, the place was chock full of Irish players, and now we don't really have any. Anthony Stokes is an Irish under-21 or under-19 international. He's on loan at Falkirk, I think, at the moment, and scoring some goals there, and scoring goals for Ireland at representative level. But you really do have to be very high quality to get into this Arsenal team. So we'll wait and see what happens with him. But yeah, of course, I'd love to see more Irish in the team. We haven't had a Paddy since Vieira left. That's it for the questions for this week. If you have a question for next week, just email arscast@arsblog.com. That's arscast@arsblog.com. Okay, on to the final part of the show, which is our bet of the week with thanks to bluesquare.com. That's www.bluesq.com. This week, Simon Wolf says, Everton head to Emirates Stadium on Saturday to face an Arsenal side in great form. However, Andy Johnson has a knack of winning penalties and can be backed at 14-1 to be fouled by any Arsenal player and win another penalty. Obviously, we'll be hoping that doesn't happen, but 14-1 are quite generous odds. So if you fancy putting some money on that, go to www.bluesq.com. Also, with regards to last week's bet of the week, they said they would double the odds on the first goal scorer. If Thierry Henry scored within 15 minutes, they would double the odds. Thierry scored after 58 seconds, so they doubled the odds from 7-2 to 7-1, and they paid out an extra £25,000. So pay attention to the bet of the week. You could get quids in for the week ahead. Okay, that's the end of the second ever Arsblog Arscast in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk. We'll be back next Friday, same Ars place, same Ars channel. Talk to you then. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.